I'd like to call our meeting, first meeting in October, to order and invite you to join me for the Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Mr. Hattery? Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall? Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Cha?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Kaplinka-Lair?
Here, and glad it's not a budget meeting.
12 members present.
Petitions, notices, and communications?
Communications are on the desk.
And there's no special order of the day, so we'll proceed to privilege of the floor from the public. Is anyone here to speak to the legislature on any matter? Seeing none, we'll move to privilege of the floor from legislators. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. Very simple thing. I wanted to remind people, if they did not get a pedometer from from the 10,000 steps per day program, the Wellness Committee has them. I have them. If anyone needs one, please let me know. I have at least five with me. Thank you.
Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mike. I wanted to let you know about two items tonight. First, on Election Day, this is not political. On Election Day, there's going to be an item on the top of the ballot that we want to make sure doesn't get missed. It's a constitutional amendment that deals with disabled veterans. It permits disabled veterans who are not receiving benefits but have been declared disabled to actually receive points when they apply for a position with a municipality. And the article was in the Saturday paper, the Saturday Ithaca Journal, that describes it. But any help you could give to getting this passed would be very helpful, but it's important to draw your attention to it, because often the items at the top of the ballot get overlooked, and we're going to be dealing with some new machines this year too. And I have the article in case you'd like to read it. The other item is with regard to one of our employees. I received an email, believe it or not. But I received an item from Sigrid Connors and Karen Bishop at the Health Department. I made this announcement at the Health Committee meeting a week or so ago. One of our employees named Kelly Nickerson, who had just gone through the CPR class and had actually taken the training, was at a restaurant not too far from here in Penn Yan, and actually had to perform the Heimlich maneuver on one of the patrons and apparently saved the person's life. Wow. And stayed with the fella until the EMTs actually came and took over. So it's kind of nice that sometimes we can bring a very positive story, but I thought you'd appreciate knowing that we have a senior account clerk typist who is well trained and maybe can help Greg install those defibs, right? But thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Martha?
Thank you. I want to make sure people know about the training put on by the Human Services Coalition called Board Basics, a training for new and prospective board members, meant for nonprofit board members. October 21st at 4:30 to 7:30, and this is including light refreshments. call the Human Services Coalition, 273-8686, if you're interested. This is part of the work that Lisa Horn does. That's the position that we fund half of. So I'm going to pass this to each of you, and you know, if you want to let people know. They right now have 50 people signed up, and last year they had 80 people come to this workshop. I think it's a really important thing for the community. That's October 21st. And in relation to that position, Steve and I were at a meeting this morning and got the full report, sort of an update. It's actually dated July 14th, but it is pretty current on, you know, the kind of work that she's been able to do with this position. The part of it that we fund starts on page 6. And there's a lot of good information about what that position has been able to accomplish.
Thank you. Nathan Shinagawa?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going down to Washington, D.C. for the Japanese American Citizens League's second annual gala. And the gala was to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Civil Liberties Act of 1988. And the Civil Liberties Act of 1988 was essentially the piece of legislation where the United States government formally apologized for the internment of Japanese Americans and also provided reparations to Japanese Americans that were interned during World War II. And it was really a moving celebration, and one of the people that they honored was former Secretary of Transportation Norman Mineta. When he was a congressman, he spearheaded the passage of the Civil Liberties Act. That act actually had broad bipartisan support and was signed by Ronald Reagan, President Reagan. Secretary Mineta, because of his experience both as a young man when he was in the internment camps, and also because of his work throughout his life working on behalf of the civil liberties of different groups, when he became Secretary of Transportation, he had a lot of pressure by a lot of different people to use racial profiling in airports. But because of his direct experiences that he had with that, he, as Secretary of Transportation, said that the United States government would not engage with that in the airports. And that, I think, was a very pivotal moment in the war against terror that maintained some of the constitutional credibility of the United States. So, anyway, just wanted to let people know about that. Again, it's the 20th anniversary of the Civil Liberties Act of 1988.
Thank you. Anyone else? Will Burbank.
Thank you, Michael. Since moving to the county from the town board, I left behind one hat. I'm still on one board that I was appointed to when I was on the town, and that is the town's representative to the Pegasus Access Oversight Committee. Big mouthful, but basically this is a local committee that is charged with dealing with issues related to the community access channel. And I want to sort of let you know this, and I would like at some other time to tell you a little more about it, because I think it's a critically important part of our local community and the ability of citizens to get their concerns out. Currently on our local cable system, there are three channels, one of which, if you are at home and watching this meeting, you are looking at right now. That would be the government channel, Channel 15. There are two other channels that also have non-commercial programming. One is the public access, which is the Pegasus Studio. And the third is the educational access. And the reason I wanted to mention this tonight is that at the end of September, there was a significant loss on that channel. And it was the demise of something that maybe you've never heard of, but actually may have noticed, which is the New York State Network. And this was an educational network that sent programming out to community access or educational access stations all around the state. And sometimes it was little snippets of programs about different parts of New York State, little features on some of the interesting places. Or maybe you might have caught the German news service in English called Deutsche Welle, which was a wonderful, wonderful news service that really gave a very different perspective on the events of the day from outside our boundaries, our national boundaries, and gave us an insight into how we're being viewed in the world. Anyway, among the many losses that are happening in the state due to budget concerns, the New York State Network was abandoned, That programming has disappeared from Channel 16, and I think it's a real loss. I mention this because I think that it's critically important for us to be aware of our public access and the PEG system and continue to support it. And I want to thank the our wonderful camera people, Dave, Frank, and Jim Blizzard, who do an excellent job of bringing our meetings to the public, and I hope we continue to do this for a very long time. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you all. Anyone else? Martha, briefly.
Sorry, I forgot. Voter registration. Deadline is Friday. If you've moved recently, you should you can call 274-5522 to see whether you're up to date. I understand. Steve DeWitt was on the radio this morning explaining some things, and I think if you've moved within the county, you can still vote, but it's really best to check. You can also go to votetompkins.com. And so this Friday on Court Street, voter registration deadline. If you are a student, you have the choice of registering locally or registering in your home community. And if you do that, you should really, if you can't get home to vote, then make sure you get an absentee ballot. Students who have grown up here but are in school somewhere else can also either register in the place in the state where they are in school or get an absentee ballot from Tompkins County. So I understand also that there's some, maybe some fudging on, there's some Saturday hours this Saturday. You know about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
at town halls and at, I think, City Hall, there is registration from 2 to 7 or 9. It's supposed to be easier for people to get there on the weekend, and it's this big outreach voter registration day in our county.
Okay, so that's this weekend. And and also to know if you want to vote in a primary election, in the, like if there's a primary for anything next February, this is also the deadline to be registered in a political party.
Thank you very much. If there are no other legislators to speak, is there anyone here from a municipality to speak from a report from a municipal official? Okay, we have no special topics. I'll read the proclamation for our Sheriff's Week in Tompkins County. Peter Mescal, if you want to come up, we can hand this to you. We're presently in Sheriff's Week in Tompkins County. Whereas the Office of Sheriff has been an integral part of the criminal justice system in New York State and Tompkins County throughout its history, having been established in the state's first constitution, having been continued in every succeeding constitution, and having been one of the original constitutional offices of our county, and whereas despite changes in its function, status, and powers throughout its long history, the Office of Sheriff has maintained a continuous existence, preserved its distinguishing heritage, and continued to be an essential component of our criminal justice community, and whereas the Office of Sheriff has evolved into a modern, professional, full-service law enforcement agency, staffed by fully trained police officers using state-of-the-art technology, applying the latest and most advanced theories and practices in the criminal justice field. And whereas the Office of Sheriff is unique in the community and the duties of the office go far beyond the traditional role of keeper of the peace and extend into many facets of public service, including maintaining the county jail, serving and executing the civil process for our courts. And whereas, as a constitutionally empowered entity directly responsible to the people, the ancient Office of Sheriff remains even today responsive and accountable to the public it serves. And whereas it is fitting to celebrate the historic significance of the Office of the Sheriff and the significant role with which the Sheriff plays in our modern criminal justice system, now therefore I, Michael Kuplinka-Layer, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim October 5th through 11th, Sheriff's Week in Tompkins County.
I'd just like to accept this really on behalf of all the people that I'm privileged to work with at the Sheriff's Office. They're the people that make the place go, and they're the people that make me look good, and it's really a pleasure and a privilege to work with them. And without them, we wouldn't have an agency regardless of what we have as far as monetary resources. They really do make a difference in the county, and I'm proud to work with them. Thank you.
Thank you. Tompkins County has gotten a few awards lately. Our personnel department got an award for access to people with disabilities, and our Tompkins County as a whole was honored nationally for our Go Green initiative, the Solid Waste Division particularly. I think we got some press on that earlier on. I wanted to give that acknowledgement. In terms of chair's appointments, I just want to appoint Will Burbank instead of Carol Chalk to Cooperative Extension. Thank you, Will, for being willing to serve, and thank you, Carol, for serving the first part of this year. Move on to reports by County Administrator. Steve Witcher.
Appreciate the transition's going very well, and Joe's coming tomorrow. We'll be talking to the department heads. My piles are getting very small, and his are getting very big.
Just to clarify, he's coming to visit tomorrow. His first day is not until October 21st.
He starts on the 21st, right.
And there'll be a week of transition, and his first day officially as County Administrator is the 28th. Thank you, Steve. There's no question. Nathan?
And Joe's organizing like meetings with every legislator, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. From the day he starts on for about 2 weeks, he's trying to fit in both legislator and department head meetings.
Cool.
One-on-one.
Just, we're going to try to clarify that tomorrow, too. There's been some confusion as to when those meetings start. I'm fighting for the 5 days of transition time that I have, and hopefully I'll be able to keep those.
Yep. Jonathan Wood, County Attorney.
Sure. I have no report, but I would like to request a brief executive session to discuss litigation.
Okay, thank you. And David Squires is missing, so we'll move on. It's unusual for David. No other county staff to report? Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? Jim Dennis.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I would like to withdraw Resolution L, Award of Grant, from the HR meeting.
Okay. Any others? Greg Stevenson.
I'd like to withdraw Resolution O, Appropriation from Contingent Fund, Expanded Transition Program, Reentry Initiative, Opportunities, Alternatives, and Resources, OAR.
Okay, so we'll go back to committee?
Yes.
Anything else to add or withdraw? If not, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I don't think I have any appointments. The committee resolutions would be Resolution A. It's under Health and Human Services and a couple other committees, budget adjustments, various departments. Solely under Health and Human Services, Resolution B, acceptance of legislative initiative grant for home repairs, Office for the Aging. Resolution C, acceptance of grant from New York State Housing Trust Fund Corporation for Restore Program, Office for the Aging. Resolution D, authorization to accept grant funds, execute agreements, and budget adjustment. Syphilis Elimination Grant, Health Department. Resolution E, calling on the New York Congressional Delegation to support an increase in the federal medical assistance percentage, FMAP.
Mike, can I just clarify there that nobody considers changing the word crashing to crushing?
Pull it off.
That's a manifest error.
It goes everywhere.
As a one-word change, we can call that a manifest error and keep it on consent.
Right.
FMAP to provide New York counties with property tax relief. Under Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution F, authorization to execute construction and right-of-way funding agreement with New York State Department of Transportation, Cortland McLean Road Reconstruction and Bridge Replacement, Town of Groton. And Resolution G, authorizing an increase in the passenger facility charge at the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. Who'd like to move the consent agenda? Frank moves it. Dooley seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. And we'll move on to our committee reports. Leslie McBean Claiborne, Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Chair.
I get to go first.
Yeah, we keep rotating.
I know. The only report I have from WDIC, I do want to remind folks that the grandmothers are here. We are really pleased to have the indigenous, 8 of the 13 indigenous grandmothers here in Tompkins County, in various parts of Tompkins County, having a lot of wonderful ceremonial healing conversations and rituals with members of our community. The feedback I'm getting has just been phenomenal, from children, from parents, from men, from women. I also want to say that tomorrow, I want to remind folks that from 3 to 4, there is a community tea. It's free and open to the public with the grandmothers. They will be there at the Human Services building, and our Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee is certainly be pleased to be involved with supporting the grandmothers being here, not through a grant or anything, but just providing some fruit or crackers and cheese or something like that for members of the community who may show up just to have a moment with our grandmothers. So we are really excited about them being here and just traveling throughout Tompkins County, not just one area, but everywhere, and people having the opportunity to just be connected with them and connected with their own grounding and their own sense of reaching out and being accepting and inclusive of everyone around them. So I just wanted to remind folks that these things are happening, and you should certainly try to touch base.
That's 3 to 4 tomorrow where?
It's 3 to 4 tomorrow at the Human Services building.
Thank you. At the end of your report?
That is the end of my report.
Thank you. There's no further questions. Frank Proto, Health and Human Services Committee Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bulk of the committee's actions have already been dealt with on the consent agenda, but I want to draw your attention to two items that were on consent. One is the $15,000 syphilis grant, the STDs. There's been an increase in syphilis in this county, and it's gotten rather dramatic. So the health department is tackling a community awareness program as well as doing some additional education and outreach. It's rather severe, and Alice and Sigrid Connors gave us quite a report on it at the committee meeting. If you'd like to read the minutes, you're certainly welcome to, but it's a little more dastardly than you think it is. The second is the grant for the Restore program. Lisa Holmes gave us a report on the Housing Trust Fund's monies, and this was an interesting one. We received $125,000, and she only applied for, I think, $57,000. So COFA... well, we told her to cash the check pretty quickly. They're spreading... There was monies that had come through various housing initiatives. I reported on it a couple of months ago, and it was in anticipation, and this was one piece of it. So I think that's good news, certainly for her area. In addition to that, we dealt with a number of items on youth services. Nancy gave us a report on the Community Coalition for Healthy Youth, a response to the college president's call for lowering the drinking age. You may have seen they want to lower the drinking age from 21 to 18. The three college presidents in our county have all voted or agreed not to support that. They want to leave it at 21. And Nancy did quite a write-up. You may have seen it recently in the paper. She did an op-ed piece on it. It was very enlightening. No one can understand other than perhaps they're getting free beer on the campuses. So it isn't going to happen here, we hope. There was a... I won't talk about the conference on youth that's coming up. one other item. Patricia Carey gave us some more of the updates regarding DSS. We heard about the 10 positions that you asked for the other evening, Mike. But one thing that came out of it, and I want to thank Martha for bringing it up, we had received, over the years, we had been receiving a series of reports that were pertinent to DSS. It gave us a breakdown of every account, how many cases in various categories were being worked on. And for some reason, those reports have sort of dwindled, and we haven't been getting them most of this year. There's a lot of good data in there, and Patricia described why it was more difficult to deliver that data today than it was several years ago, over the last several years. At any rate, she's going to meld what she has, and we will start getting the reports again after we get the initial burst of them. We want to review what it is that we will be seeing, because a lot of the casework numbers are very helpful. In addition, it gives us a breakdown of the various budgetary items. Some of you have probably never seen those reports, and they were very telling. At any rate, she's working with Tom on getting those out. I want to thank you, even though it was on consent, I want to thank you for supporting the increase in the federal FMAP. That is a critical piece that we need to get behind, and we want to make sure that our congressional folks are online, or at least in line with that. And Lisa gave us an update on the status of Lifelong and co-locating of those departments, and that was what we were talking about at the Budget Committee meeting earlier this week. The one remaining budget item, remember, our committee had a special budget review meeting. We did get into the one remaining item, which was the Human Rights Office and the human rights item. And I'm sure we'll be hearing a little more about that as we get into the remaining budget deliberations. Our next meeting is November 5th. Is it okay for me to mention the governor's visit? This Friday, because of... shouldn't we mention that? Okay, why don't we let Martha mention
it? No. I was just reacting, you already said it.
Well, some of us received an invitation to Lifelong, and I'll let Mike finish the details of that.
No, go ahead.
But it's my understanding that the governor will be here on Friday, and at 11 o'clock. Well, that's the prescribed time. We don't know if that's really going to happen or not.
I was told 12:45.
Well, already it's been changed, right? But Bill Hawley also notified us.
Okay. Before we go on the resolution, I want to make a note that resolution H, I, and J all say that they're recommended by two committees. Turns out the second committee, Expanded Budget and Capital Committee, through an oversight, did not actually vote on those in our Expanded Budget Committee meetings. We were on a tear for other items and didn't take time to do our regular business. So you can kind of scratch those out of these next three resolutions.
But so should
you like to move Resolution H?
Yeah, I'll move Resolution H. That's the appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay, reimbursement, health department.
Is there a second? Dooley Kiefer. This will be a roll call vote. Is there discussion? No discussion? We'll have a roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no vote? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. And we'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Facilities and Infrastructure met on September 18th. The bulk of our work is reflected in the resolutions to come, but there are just a few things I wanted to highlight from our meeting. We, Commissioner of Planning and Public Works, Ed Marks, talked with us about gas drilling and the potential of that happening in our county, natural gas exploration and drilling operations. There were questions to our highway manager about the impacts of that on our roads and facilities. It doesn't seem to be any impacts right now, but we watch real closely, and we will continue to get reports on that. As we look to consider ways to cut and shave salt and sand mixtures, are potentially, well, they have been, and maybe more so on our roads during winter conditions, and of course they are dependent on the conditions and how much you can use of one or the other, just straight salt, etc. So They're trying very hard to figure out ways to reduce highway materials budget, but not compromise people's lives and the safety on the roads. We were very, very pleased to get the presentation about our environmentally preferred procurement research guide. Oh, I like that. And right along with our award for Go Green initiatives, this is one of the things that we are doing that's being recognized statewide by our Solid Waste Division. So it's there. We had some discussion about the products, and it's really great to see a listing of places from which we can purchase. This is going to continue to be updated and upgraded as people think of some of the purchases we have to make for a department, some of the materials we need, like light bulbs, etc. And the department will also be looking at making sure that we've explored suppliers at all levels, and especially making sure that we can include any diverse suppliers that are out there for this nature. I want to point out the resolutions that are on. There were questions. Kathy's not here, and so there were questions about why Kathy's support was not there, and I wanted to point out that the reason listed is that Kathy didn't feel she had enough time to sort of review the document so she couldn't make a really good informed vote. So it wasn't because she didn't agree with it or so on, so I wanted to let people know that. But I also wanted to let folks know that the vehicle purchases that are happening in 2008, I have to read this line so I make sure I have it right, is to utilize the funds in 2008 budget to purchase one of the two vehicles originally being requested in the 2009 budget. And in doing so, that will reduce the highway target by about $200,000 for 2009. So we were using the funds in 2008. And our dear Ms. Kiefer wanted the record to reflect her ambivalence regarding the associated 2009 budget target reductions of $200,000. So it's in that record, and it's now in our main record. I wanted to make sure that was there. The airport, the committee, by consensus, directed the airport manager to do an RFP process for the car rental spaces, although Bob felt that every year we go through this and there are only two responses, Hertz and Avis, really. We want it to be fair and open the process to everybody, and if you get two responses, so be it. After a little bit of discussion, we're back to that process. So we'll be looking for that. And you will be pleased to hear, I think that's pretty much what I have to report, except what's in our resolutions. But a number of us yesterday had the opportunity to go up to the airport for the press conference and welcoming back of Continental Airlines. It was a wonderful experience. We're very thankful that they are here to have three commuter air service opportunities here in Tompkins County is really, really great. And do want to thank the Air Services Task Force and want to thank the folks who have been working, Courtney Consultant as well as Alan Cohen and all the other marketing people out there in making this happen, and especially to Bob Nicholas for just being there, continuing to work hard, plot away, and pursue this opportunity. So we're very grateful for it. And I just wanted to share that information with you. If there are no questions or any additions from our committee members, we have resolutions.
Why don't you go ahead?
Sure. Resolution I, Budget Adjustments, Highway Division. So move.
Is there a second? Julie Kiefer. Is there discussion? Ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, this is a short roll call. Excuse me.
Mr. Hatterick?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? That's none, so that's unanimous.
Resolution J, authorization to purchase vehicle and budget adjustment.
Highway.
Is there a second? Frank Proto.
Question?
Sure.
Leslin, did I hear you say that Dooley was ambivalent on this? Does that mean that the I's should be 3, the no's 1, and 1 should be
ambivalent? Unfortunately, we don't have that category because many of us will be ambivalent on so many things.
How about undecided?
We're working on it, Frank. We'll change the rules, you and I.
Any further discussion?
Could I ask Dooley a question?
Sure.
Why were you ambivalent?
Because I think the reduction in target is not one that makes a lot of sense. They're going to need money in subsequent years. But I didn't want to try to block the purchase of the truck this year. I was very torn about what to argue in that.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, I think we're ready to vote. Roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as no? Looks like that's unanimous. On to K.
Resolution K, award of bid, Tompkins County Health Department Interior Deconstruction Project.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
Leslin, I see Ed in the back, so maybe
right.
Between us we can get an explanation. The third, whereas, pardon me, that says that the responsible bidder, the lowest responsible bidder bid $324,000 and change. Can you recollect what the budget for this line on deconstruction is or was or has been?
The budget line was somewhere between $325,000 and $330,000. I can't remember if it was right at $325,000, but this came in right at budget.
Thanks, Ed.
Any further questions?
Yes, one more.
Sure.
At some point, can we get an update on what the status of this project is? Just a report maybe from Ed. It doesn't have to be tonight. Just as, you know, where we are. Thank you.
Mike Hattery, then Carol.
I just had a question about why the whereas is regarding certificate of need for the diagnostic treatment clinic are in the resolution. Anybody knows?
I was going to speak to that.
Okay. I can also speak to it. It was interesting. Go ahead, Carol.
I was just going to point out that this resolution is only concerning the deconstruction, the
right.
parts of the building that need to have things taken out of them, and is not yet moving forward with constructing anything. There is a certificate of need, that application pending, that we need to get before we move forward with
constructing.
Construction.
Right.
Thanks for clarifying. Any further comment? Ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution K. And is there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
And that concludes my report. We are going to meet next week, the 16th, October 16th, and we will be hopefully reviewing and approving the contract for Continental Airlines. So come be part of the fun.
All right. Thank you, Leslin.
Free flights.
On to Jim Dennis, Chair of Human Resources Committee.
Thank you, Michael. Last meeting consisted of several items, and I just wanted to shortly tell you what they were. We had a discussion about the reclassification process that the county now has on the books, the role related to the role of commissioner, the role of the HR committee, and it's my impression from listening to members of the committee at that meeting that this discussion will carry on at some later date. And clearly, I would welcome that and others. Another part of the meeting consisted of talking about the document that Paula Younger has been working on with Leslin to help us evaluate the four directs. And the four directs, as you well know, are the county administrator, the county attorney, the finance director, and and Kathy Coatwell, the clerk of the legislature. And the next meeting will consist of the committee making a decision, I'm hoping, on the final document that we will use to evaluate those four people. We will have a discussion, and I'm hoping, and I'm certain it will happen, that all of you will get a copy of the document well in advance of the meeting, and you will be able to review it, look at it, read it, be ambivalent about it, but when you come to the meeting, you will be able to give your comments, and we will make a move and do something with that document. It's been a long time. There are several people who want to finally get it moving along, and I certainly support that. And I'm certain, I can promise you that there will be some decision made at the next meeting, one way or another.
That document is not just the instrument that we'll be using, but it's the process.
It's a right, exactly. Thank you. And also there was a discussion about what kinds of evaluation documents are being used in the county in departments. And the commissioner and the department is looking into these, and they will be gathered up. And we will find out once and for all definitely what department heads are using to evaluate their employees and what documents they are using. I don't want to go out on a limb and say they will all be there next meeting, but within 2 months everyone will know what every department head is or is not doing and the way they evaluate their employees. The next meeting will be November 6th at 3:30. Thank you.
Any questions for Jim? Frank Proto?
Jim, two questions.
May I say one more thing?
Sure.
The interest arbitration is October 27th, and County Administrator Witcher will be one of the representatives of the county, and we'll find out how that all works out for about 4 months from that date, roughly.
Go ahead. The four positions that the document will be pertinent to, can you say what those four positions are again?
Yes, county administrator, county attorney, finance director, and county clerk.
Okay. Clerk of the legislature.
The reason I ask
is... Clerk of the legislature, I'm sorry. We might throw her in too.
Well, I was reminded by Patricia Carey that her appointment comes up in November. Will that be going through... That's your... Well...
It's one of Joe's
first. That's one of Joe's.
Okay. That'll... On his to-do list?
First action.
Thank you.
Jim.
Michael, I neglected one thing. The Commissioner of Personnel and I believe the county administrator have received a request for negotiation from the white-collar unit to begin that process. Their contract runs out at the end of December, and we have to be back with them and respond to them and be back at the table with them in 09. So the new county administrator will be involved in that in one fashion or another.
Great. Thank you very much, Jim. If there's no further questions, we'll move on to Government Operations Committee. Mike Hattery, Chair.
Government Operations has not met since the last meeting of the legislature. We're meeting this Friday, October 10th at 2 p.m.
Thank you, Michael.
Report.
Moving on to Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. We haven't met either, but there is a resolution on that we deliberately wanted to postpone a little bit so people had a chance to absorb and think about the lake monitoring plan. I also wanted to mention that, since Leslie mentioned gas drilling, Kathy Woolley sent out a note the other day that the DEC has posted online the generic environmental impact statement, which is like the scoping document, and I think there's 30 or 45 days or something to comment on that, and that is for people to comment about what should be looked at in the environmental review, what kinds of things should DEC pay attention to when they permit gas drilling operations. So you might be able to find that on the DEC website or ask Kathy Woolsey, and she'll send you a note with that so you can, people have, can have a look. I think it would be very important for citizens who are interested in, or legislators who are interested in these issues, to really pay attention and make sure the right things are included in the permitting process. We meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the old jail. This is a day earlier because of religious holiday. And so that's my report except for the resolution. So I will move Resolution M, supporting the Water Resources Council, Cornell University Partnership, and furthering strategic lake monitoring and supporting continuation of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation's lake source cooling permit required in lake monitoring. So moved.
Seconded by Pam Magazine. Is there discussion? Carol Chuck?
Yeah, I'll just point out that this resolution was a much discussed compromise that attempts to recognize and support the work of the those who developed the, a plan to further monitor our lake for all kinds of environmental reasons, and while at the same time attempting to leave the decision up to the DEC about how it should oversee the particular spots involved in Cornell's lake source cooling. I don't think it's an ideal resolution, but I will support it as a compromise.
Jim Dennis.
Frank, I'm going to use a quote I hear often. I don't want to put you on the spot, but you're the chair of the Water Resources Council, and I'm interested in your take and the council's take on this.
I think Carol described it accurately. This this is a compromise resolution, and the understanding is certainly highlighted in the next to the last, let me make sure I got it right, the next to the last resolve that the we do believe, and our monitoring report did indeed say that the DEC, working with Cornell, will have to make that decision. That's up to them with regard to not only what they're testing for, but what sites they, and that has always been the case with the WRC. We're not trying to overstep any DEC bounds at all. So I think the council can live with this resolution.
Thank you, Frank. Martha Robertson.
I'm really glad that we were able to work this out, and I want to thank Pam, and especially for working very hard on this, and Carol as liaison to the Water Resources Council, and of course Frank for bringing a lot of information to the committee discussion, and Roxy and Joan, who are in the audience. Is there anybody else?
And Jim Adams.
And Jim, hello. And thank you very much. This is really one of those collaborative efforts that that we're really known for. I mean, sort of people sitting around the table and sort of figuring out who are the right people to gather in the room, and let's try to make the best use of community resources. I'm pleased that at a recent expanded budget committee meeting, we were able to support the related stream monitoring effort by Community Science Institute, and that's you know, sort of it's mentioned in this report, and I think it's clearly a very important part of knowing what's going on in the lake is to really begin monitoring Cuga Inlet as well. So I'm pleased to support this resolution, and look forward to getting reports from the group as it goes on.
Frank Porto.
Thanks, Mike. And I, just as a reminder, I'm glad Ed is still here. Some of you will remember that the county's comprehensive plan has a section in it that highlights the fact that we will produce a monitoring report and that we will do something regarding the monitoring. And I think both Roxy and Joan should take a bow for that. And not to overlook Jim. Jim was pretty instrumental. So I think that the group did work very well together. Thank you.
So the substantive wording in the resolution are commending and supporting an overall approach. Are we ready to vote? All in favor? Anyone opposed? This is unanimous. Thank you very much for all that work.
That's great. That's the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. We are on track to set a record if we keep it. Okay.
Don't say that.
Yeah. Our next committee is the Budget and Capital Committee. Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mike. You all have been part of Budget and Capital Committee meetings, so there's not much, too much to report. But just as an update, we're at, I believe, 3.13% of an increase to the levy, which means that we're almost $50,000 over our target at the moment. And so that's just something to be conscious of as we have our last few budget items. I think there's about 7 or 8 of them for the next budget, and then we'll start revisits. And so we should be conscious of that. Also, secondly, in terms of the fund balance, in terms of being over our needed amount for fund balance, we are under, started out yesterday with 1.2 or 3, and then ended just below a million. And so that's, you know, we wanted to, especially with the tough budgets potentially coming up in the future, we wanted to stay above a million. So that's another thing. We really need to be careful about one-time spending in addition to our target spending with the next few set of meetings. And so with that, that concludes my report. And if there's any questions, I'm willing to take them.
Seeing no hands, thank you very much, Nathan.
Thank you.
Move on to Public Safety Committee. Greg Stevenson, Chair.
The committee met on September 19th. A few of the things that we discussed that aren't coming to this body at this time. We had a presentation from Sergeant Doug Wright from IPD, who represented the LETS group, which stands for Law Enforcement Technology Shared Services Group. It's a group of made up of law enforcement officials from the Sheriff's Department, IPD, and the Village Police Department. They presented us with a PowerPoint presentation. Essentially, you'll see in the next meeting or two a resolution come from that presentation to us. And they've asked for support for the $30,000 OTR that's currently in the budget and I think is recommended by the administrator. And also we'll be seeking a resolution of support to proceed with establishing a governance structure for their group. Those are things you'll see shortly. We also heard from Susie Cook, chairperson of the CJATI board. She reported to us that she's still working to secure NYSID numbers for analysis of the jail population and ATI programs. That work's ongoing between Susie and the sheriff and others. Hopefully, we'll be able to report that that process is in place soon. Perhaps the biggest news was the shortest item, I think. Lee Shurtleff reported to us that the IPD actually went live, I guess if you will, on the 800 megahertz system around the time the students came back. So they were kind of the first users of the system. I think since then a significant number of the emergency services users, in fact, I think all of the law enforcement agencies and all but one of the fire and EMS agencies are now live on the 800 megahertz system. So it's up, it's running, most everybody's on it, and it seems to be working well. In fact, it is working well. So that's that concludes the notes that I've got from that meeting.
On that matter, Greg, is there a ribbon cutting on the 24th?
that confirmed? 11 o'clock at IC? Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's what I heard at the legislature meeting, Mike.
So people can note it in their calendars.
Sure.
If they, that's been, you know, 8 or so years in coming in many real terms, and maybe even longer, depending on how you look at the iteration that's gone through. So 11 o'clock at IC, the ribbon cutting on the 24th of October, Friday.
Formal notification of that coming out
fairly soon. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to move Resolution N, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Probation and Community Justice. I so move.
Mike Hattery seconds. Is there discussion?
No, the next.
Is a short form roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Is there anyone wish to be recorded as a no? Seeing none, that's unanimous. On to P.
Resolution P, appropriation from contingent fund, bail fund program, opportunities, alternatives, and resources, OAR. And I so move.
And Martha Robertson seconds. Is there discussion? Martha.
There's a piece of paper on your desk. It says proposal for use of 2008 contingency fund for bail loan fund. Would direct your attention to that. In particular, what's interesting that 82% of the people that bailed out this year so far have had bails of $1,000 or less, and their offenses like disorderly conduct, open container, resisting arrest, and petty larceny. And the reason that OAR is bailing these folks out is that they can't afford it themselves. So those are the kinds of offenses where we're seeing people not have to languish in jail because of this program.
Leslin and then Pam.
Thank you. I just blanked. Go ahead, Pam.
Pam Magazine.
Well, I just had a question about the last paragraph here about, the problem of getting money returned by the town justices. They're holding on to it. I mean, it just sounds like it's completely, for completely bogus reasons. And is there any higher authority that can put some pressure on these people to return our money?
I don't have an answer, but Martha, maybe?
Well, I asked Deb Dietrich is here.
Do you have a suggestion on higher authorities?
You know, they're an independent branch of government. So basically, I don't know if the legislature is concerned about the use of this county taxpayer dollars being tied up in justice courts. I think that the Commission on Judicial Review in Albany is really the only recourse.
All right. Leslin.
And I don't remember there ever being any success in getting them to do anything differently, but we do get the money back eventually. I don't see anything, and I'm just wondering if there are any amounts of money out on bail that there's concern around in terms of forfeitures.
Yeah, we have our forfeiture rate, Leslin, I didn't give another second sheet of paper, but it's ranged between 3 and 7% over the last several years. There is one $2,500 bail that has been erroneously forfeited. We're told by the city controller that it's in the mail as we speak. Vail has been working assiduously to get that money returned. There are a couple other small forfeitures which happen. You know, as we increase the number of bails we're doing, there are going to be a few forfeitures, but we expect the rate to be around, continue to be less than 5% this year.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure, of course.
And I don't know if the process is still to have a co-signer for this. Is there any luck with co-signers helping to recover any of the small amounts that are being forfeited?
What we do, it's a good question. Usually, we follow up with the co-signer when we get a forfeiture. We tell them that it's been forfeited. We ask them. We have not to date taken them to court for it. So, part of it is that the hassle of going to court, the expense of going to court, everything may exceed the $250 bail or even the $500 bail.
And in this economy, I clearly do understand co-signer's perspective. You might have to end up bailing them out, too, because you have to take Thanks, Deb.
Pam Magsey.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up to my question. It seems to me that, I mean, this is a fairly substantial amount of money, considering that the total in the account, I guess, is supposed to be $55,000. It seems, and I think that we should write the town justices and talk to them, and then if we don't get any response, that we write a letter to the commission in Albany.
Are you looking? It's approximately $6,000.
There is $32,500 currently outstanding and due back from the courts.
That just means it's out.
Oh, it's out. Okay, $6,000. Okay, from the various town courts. Excuse me. Well, so that's less, but.
And the total amount in the bail fund is not $55,000. That's just how much has circulated throughout the year.
Okay, it's less than that, right?
Correct.
Yes.
I don't know if it's somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000.
Okay. Okay, well then $6,000 is...
It's still a good chunk of money.
A good chunk of money. So,
yes.
I mean, is it appropriate for the county legislature to write a letter to the town justices? Because this is our money, right?
Well, I'm glad to undertake that. I think we'd have to have some help drafting it. Mike Hattery?
Well, we keep referring to this as our money. The legislature has continued to make contributions. It's actually under the auspices of OAR. And it hasn't always been funded by public funds. There was
Correct.
A time when it was funded by private funds.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Ready to vote? All in favor? I'm sorry, again, a short form roll call.
Mr. Hattery?
No.
Long form roll call.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Can I be recorded as ambivalent? Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
Mr. Shinagawa?
You betcha. I'm sorry, yes. Sorry.
There you go again.
Mr. Sigler?
No.
I used the word.
Mr. Stevenson?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplink-Alaire?
Yes.
10 ayes, 3 noes.
That passes 10-3. Thank you. And I believe that's the end of our regular committee reports. We have no individual member filed resolutions. Move on to the minutes of the previous meeting. We'd like to move September 16th. Martha moves. Jim seconds. Any changes? All in favor?
Aye.
We'd like to move that we go into a brief executive session. Jim Dennis moves. Pam McAsey seconds. All in favor?
For the purposes of?
For the purposes of litigation, and there's no action expected to be taken after we're done.
Thank you.
All in favor of going into executive session?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll take a few minutes to have a few minutes break to take the cameras down. We'll be in executive session. Wow.